place to mark, separate, spark, follow the course, and to avoid getting sharp, more focused in the light, and both handle the tear, the fall, the crash, the warfare, won't care. Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines. My name is Manuel Criollo, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann. And on the phone, we have Craig Gilmore of the California Prison Moratorium, an organizer, who's going to talk to us about the upcoming vote down at L.A. City Council on Wednesday, January 26th at 10 a.m. down at John Ferraro Council Chamber Room 340 down at City Hall. And it's about the upcoming city initiative to support a version of Measure A. As you, many of you remember, in the November ballot, there was a measure that would have increased the half-cent sales tax to increase police for LAPD and LA sheriffs, and also, I think, for a new prison here in Los Angeles. So, Craig, can you give us the lowdown on what this fight looks like? I was reading today in LA's LA Times about there is some important splits that are happening at LA City Council around this measure.
That's right. It's great to be on the show. And you're right. The City Council is considering a version of the same proposition that the voters of the City of Los Angeles and the County of Los Angeles just voted down in November. The LA Times reported that the night of the November election, Police Chief Bratton and Sheriff Baca had dinner together, and the main topic of conversation over dinner was how to get the money to hire more police, open more jails, hire more prosecutors in order to get more people in Los Angeles into jails and prisons. So what the City Council is doing is taking a kind of a simple idea, which was even though they spent $2 to $3 million with those ads to try to scare LA voters in November, they said, well, why don't we just do the same thing again? The difference is this is a city initiative, not a county initiative, so it wouldn't be, it's not countywide, it's just the City of Los Angeles that would vote on it. The split in the council that you mentioned that the LA Times reported today is that a lot of the business organizations are against raising the sales tax in the City of Los Angeles. They're worried that that's going to drive some big ticket buying. People in Los Angeles might go to Burbank, might go to Glendale, might go to Long Beach to buy some stuff, and the merchants might lose out.
Well, actually, you know, I don't know. I'm starting to, as I listen to, hi, Craig, this is Eric.
Hi, Eric.
I mean, I'm starting to think maybe it's not a bad idea. I mean, but I think they should raise it, like, to 100% sales tax. So, you know, like you buy a sweater for $20 and you pay 20 more bucks, and then everybody can get their own cop. I mean, why don't we just have, like, you know, 3.5 million people in L.A., 3.5 million cops. That should eventually, and then they could each take turns locking each other up. And then shouldn't that end the crime wave finally? I mean, why are we half-stepping it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, the alternative could be simply to, you know, sort of swear everyone in Los Angeles into a militia and use the money to buy everyone better weapons.
That's right.
We'd all be sworn officers and...
Well, one thing is that in this new initiative, isn't one of the dangers that the county initiative is under a two-thirds rule? Is the city county, and that is to say, the initiative A actually passed with about 61-62% of the vote. The only reason it was defeated is because the Jarvis and other tax reformers passed a statewide ballot that said that any initiatives for new taxes are held to a two-thirds standard. Is this vote going to be held to a two-thirds standard or a 50% standard?
The City Council is still trying to decide that, and the difference would be the Jarvis initiative that you just laid out applies to any new tax that is dedicated to a particular purpose. So if by law you've got to use this money for police, for transit, for anything specific, then you need a two-thirds vote to pass it. If it's a general tax increase that future city councils could do anything they wanted with, it can be passed by 50% plus one. And apparently supporters of the initiative, it was reported at the city council last week, supporters of the initiative have done some polling. I know friends of mine got called by these polling people. And one of the questions was, would this 50% plus one, if the if the proposition did not have written into it that this money has to be used for police, would it have a better chance of passing because it would need not nearly as many votes? And interestingly, the polling came back saying that both of them are in trouble, whether it's 66.6% and it has to be used for police or 50% plus one and can be used for anything. Neither one right now is winning.
Well, one of the things that I was reading today in the LA Times was that obviously there is definitely some significant splits inside the board, not so much because of people who are worried about the criminalization of young people, the high incarceration rates of blacks and Latinos. A lot of it was the debate around the tax and, you know, both the regressive nature of this type of tax, but two, obviously, the impact it would have on city businesses. But one of the things that they were clearly stating was that of all the 15 city council seats or city council districts, only in 7 did they were able to pass that sort of supermajority of the 66. I mean, what's the game plan here? What I know here at the Strategy Center, we definitely are going to be there on Wednesday, and a lot of people we're trying to organize people to go down to City Hall to talk to give this broader message beyond just the regressive tax, which is important to talk about. But the most important is the increasing criminalization of our youth and the criminalization of our communities. Can we talk about what's the game plan? What are kind of the organizations that are fighting to stop this both this measure to ever even being on the ballot, but two, if it does get on the ballot, how are we going to fight it?
Sure. I mean, I think it's really important to remind listeners that this is a regressive tax, that if the tax does pass, a sales tax is going to hurt the poorest people of Los Angeles the worst. And because it's going to be going, it would go to hire more police, and the explicit intention is that more police would arrest more people and get more people into jail and prison. This tax is both regressive and repressive. The intention is to take more money from poor people in order to arrest more poor people. And the vote in November, there were two places in the city that the opposition to this new tax and new police were strongest. There was the West Valley, which was generally considered to be just an anti-tax vote, and there was South LA, which was considered to be an anti-police vote. And so our strategy is to build upon the strength in those two parts of the city, but also do a lot more outreach to East Los Angeles and to the West Side. People on the West Side, liberals on the West Side, are still, I think, thinking of police as a kind of neutral issue, as a, you know, simply as a city service. Like, we need more trash pickup, we need more police. And they need to be, they need to face up to the fact that more police in Los Angeles means more people of color in jail, more people of color in prison. It means the long-term deterioration or gentrification of black and brown neighborhoods in Los Angeles.
Well, I think that you're good in saying that it's both regressive and repressive, but I think we have to add that it's racist.
Oh, yeah.
And that the three R's, you know, are really important to learn, because I think what we want to say to the white West Side is, look, your kid is going to commit all kinds of petty crimes and not have virtually any stain on his or her record, you know. When I grew up in all-white Valley Stream, Long Island, 40 years ago, you know, I shoplifted, was in a little gang and broke antennas off a car and got away with it, you know. I probably inhaled and exhaled as I remembered it. You know, and basically I cut class, and then the principal caught me and instead of kicking me out of school said, "Guy, here you are on your way to Cornell and you're cutting classes, you know, get back into class." And that was it. You know, because I was on my way to the Ivy League and I was in an all-white school, so it was more like boys will be boys, you know. So I think one of the things that, you know, Damon Azali, who works with us, as you know, in the community rights campaign, and Mark Anthony Johnson, they were giving a report the other night about where the crime rate was going up, and then the police was going up even further, and then how the crime rate, so-called, went down even a little bit. But as I was thinking about it, don't we need to also say that in the last 20 or 30 years, more and more things have been made a crime? So rather than talking about increasing police, why don't we just decriminalize half the things on the books? I think we need to go through what are the so-called crimes, especially drug crimes, that, you know, we have plenty of police if you're really trying to deal with the extreme questions that even a socialist society would deal with, rape and murder and, you know, the most bodily harm, violent crimes need some level of policing. We can deal later with sentencing and all that kind of questions. But shouldn't we also be talking about decriminalizing and showing people what's on the books that should be taken off the books rather than adding cops? Why don't we take away some of the crimes?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we saw during Bratton's term as police chief in New York was that he put, not only did he put police in a lot of public schools in New York, but increasingly the school district itself had less and less control over disciplinary questions in school. So things that might have been handled by a trip to the principal's office, by staying after school, by detention, perhaps even by expelling the student, were in New York being handled as criminal cases. So a couple of junior high school or high school kids fighting in the hallway becomes two issues of assault rather than something that the school district and the parents might deal with themselves. And for the parents who are listening right now and thinking, well, my kid's school is sort of dangerous, maybe it wouldn't be a bad thing to have a police officer in the school, the danger is that it's our kids who are going to be arrested. It's our kids who are, you know, Eric, as you said, there's a lot of things that most kids do, which these days are illegal. And if you have police in the schools and those police start arresting kids, the kids are going to have even less chance of kind of making it through a difficult adolescence without a prison record holding them back.
Greg, let's talk a little bit about, we got about 2 minutes. One, at the end, please save at least a minute to invite everybody to the City Hall vote. But let's talk a little bit about where are the mayoral candidates standing on this. I know the main person who's pushing for this is James Hahn. So let's talk about the other folks. How is Antonio Villaraigosa, given that he ran really hard on a yes on Measure A? How's Parks, how's Hertzberg, and how's Alarcón sitting on this issue?
I'm not sure where Villaraigosa stands on the tax issue. All of them have supported the idea of more police in Los Angeles. Parks is actually sort of a fiscal conservative, and he's worried about, you know, raising taxes in order to hire more police. But none of the five big candidates for mayor have come out against hiring more police, nor has anyone on the LA City Council yet. The question is how to pay for it.
So, give us some information here, Greg. So the vote is going to be on Wednesday.
There are going to be two votes. The first one is going to be Wednesday, and that's going to be a vote on whether to have the city attorney move forward with the process. And then that's in the city council chambers this Wednesday at City Hall, room 340. The meeting starts at 10. In early February, probably February 11th, they'll vote again on whether to actually put it on the ballot. And that vote's going to take a two-thirds vote of the council to get it on the ballot. The No New Jails Initiative is organizing against this. And let me give you a phone number and announce that next meeting, if I could. The phone number for No New Jails is 323-238-0596. And the next meeting is a week from today, Monday, July 31st, 6 to 8 p.m., at 253 West Martin Luther King. That's at the corner of MLK and Broadway.
We'd like to thank Craig Gilmore of California Prison Moratorium. We'd like to thank today also Rahul Mahajan of EmpireNotes.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, our engineer in mixing the tunes, Maggie LaPique. This is Manuel Criollo with Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines. Today we had music with Sweet Honey and the Rock, Living Color, Eric B. and Rakim, and Charlie Hayden. So see you next week, and stay tuned for Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman up next.
You've been listening to the 4 o'clock report, Voices from the Frontline edition on listener-supported KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and at kpfk.org across the globe. Stay tuned for Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman. It's coming up next.